handle on the news. Handle on the news!
You're not sure we should be shaking hands anymore at all. I like a fist bump as much as
Bill Handel.
But are you really suggesting that maybe handshakes should be a thing of the past in our culture?
And now, here's Bill Handel.
Friday, July 23, we have Jim, let me get the microphone over here, make sure that works. We have Jim Keeney coming up at 7:30, medical news, and guess what? Guess what the medical news is going to be? Oh, yeah. First, a quick hello. Jennifer, good morning.
Hey, good morning. And, are you watching the Olympics?
I am.
The opening ceremony?
It's the 4.5-hour march of the Olympians with their flags and waving, and the U.S., I think, has 800 people on its team they're sending, and then there are countries, like small countries in Africa, that are sending two. I wonder what the qualifiers is for those small countries to send two people. Someone just shows up and go, hey, I'm willing to go. Okay, you've qualified. There you go. Welcome to the Olympics. What venue would you like me to participate in? What sport? It doesn't matter. Just enjoy yourself. And you were talking about the Tonga guy who is
how long did they pan on him?
It's always that way. You know those guys? Oh, Brazil. Yay. There's Brazil.
What, they didn't call you this year to be part of the Olympic team?
No. And, how big the Brazilian delegation is? What, four people? No, it's about 20 people.
I think the U.S. has 110.
That are there.
That are there.
Much less 850-something participants. I guess there's no limit to the number of participants. Anyway, good morning, Wayne.
Good morning. I'm a little surprised, Jen, that you weren't already aware of the Tongan Olympic guy, because he caused a similar stir at the last Olympics for his chiseled, oiled torso, yeah. And I think he's competing again this year.
Is it the same guy?
It's got to be. It's Pita Taufatafua.
And every year,
I thought he looked different than the guy, but it made me laugh when anybody else on that Tongan team got zero publicity this morning, except
right.
That guy.
Right. And you can't hug him because he'll slip right through. All right. Did I say good morning to Alex?
No.
Good morning, Alex. She's running around someplace. And Tyler. Good morning, Tyler.
Good morning.
We'll get used to you.
I hope so.
Eventually. We've got a lot to talk about today, the Tokyo Olympics, different spins. Also, we're going to talk a lot about what's going on with the Delta variant, and I'm going to keep on pushing and pushing the vaccines until you can't stand it anymore. I am fanatic about that. And Monday, I'm going to go through the reasons people are saying no. Some of them are legitimate, even though they're wrong. At least they make sense. And I'm not talking about the crazies where it's all about the government taking control, or it's about the Democrats are doing this on purpose to take control of Congress. I mean, those are just crazy people, the conspiracy nuts. But one of those, and every night we get different news stories of people who weren't vaccinated, and there they are dying. So get vaccinated, or family members. One woman lost her mother, and mom wouldn't get vaccinated. Now she said, even mom said, I wish I would. And it's, one of the big ones is, and you've heard this before, and that is, we don't know the long-term effects. We do know the long-term effects of COVID. Well, actually, the short-term effects of COVID. Not a good idea. And here it is. We haven't tested enough. We don't really know. Well, I have an idea. Why don't we dig up 610,000 people and test them to see if they've actually died? What do you think? Those are some effects. It just drives me completely nuts. Truly, it does.
Do you throw any blame at all, any even 1% of blame on the FDA for not expediting the full approval? you know, we're still, those vaccines are all still available only under emergency use authorization.
I don't.
And there are a lot of people who are pointing to that and saying, look, this thing isn't even approved under normal approval. If it became approved, fully approved, that would take away one of the arguments.
And it would.
And the thing is, it's not the worst rationale I've ever heard.
No, you're
right. If somebody's trying to justify not getting the vaccine, it's a decent rationalization. I don't agree with it.
Right.
But it's hard to look at that person and say, no, you're crazy. The thing you're saying now is crazy.
Well, the FDA,
that you're concerned that it hasn't been fully approved.
Well, the FDA is moving as quickly as it can. Emergency use authorization is exactly that, because if we waited for full authorization, no one would be vaccinated at this point.
No vaccines available.
And how many people would be dead, hospitalized and dead? This is now hundreds of thousands of people we're talking about, and the more people that are vaccinated, the better off we are. Except we're gonna see a variant that is completely resistant to the vaccines, and they're scrambling all over, and we're all gonna line up. We're gonna go back to those huge lines for vaccines. You watch, it's gonna happen. What is that new one out of Peru?
I believe that's the Lambda variant.
Yeah. That's there's another variant that's come up.
The thing about the Lambda variant is, it's impossible to know how dangerous it is, because Peru has such a low vaccination rate that any variant is going to cause havoc there. It may not be any more of a concern.
We don't know.
In this country. But the point is, every single time that virus is passed from one person to another, that's the opportunity for a mutation. Well, and every time then it multiplies in the new person, there's an opportunity for mutation.
Oh, I have the right to make my own choice. You know, how many times have you heard that? Olympians, there's a huge number of Olympians that have not been vaccinated. I have the right to get you, I have the right to pass on COVID and have you die. Well, okay, fine.
Olympians, there's about 100 that are not vaccinated. It's actually, I think they have 83% vaccination.
Right, but we're talking about 100 out of the American team.
We
don't even know what the other teams are.
But overall, it's 80. Or I guess maybe it's the U.S. team is 83%.
Right, which is still high, but
it's
should
higher,
be 100.
It's higher than in the country. It's higher than in any state.
Yeah.
It's higher than in, I think, any. I don't think there's any county even that's cracked 83% yet.
And the NFL, we're going to talk about that a little bit later, too.
Oh, man,
the NFL,
Roger
Goodell just said, you're not vaccinated, and we have to cancel a game. You could forfeit. If we can't get it rescheduled, you can forfeit.
No, I think they're saying we will not even
try
reschedule.
And so here's what happened.
In other words, the game will not be canceled. The game will be forfeited.
And the pay will not happen.
Right.
Now, do you think that if you are one of the non-vaccinated and the game is forfeited and people, these players lose their salary, which is no small amount of money because there are only 16 games, you're going to see a couple of pissed off players, some teammates that are going to go, thank you very much. Look what you did to us. All right, let's go ahead and take a break and we'll come back and continue on with plenty more news. Good morning, everybody. Welcome back. Friday, July 23rd, and we continue handle on the news. Second day for Tyler Whitman changed his name from Feinbergstein. Yes, he is, and doesn't want us to know about it.
Okay, what you just did is you outed Tyler as being Jewish.
Yes.
Does that mean I'm the only person on the show who is not?
I think it could be that way.
Wow.
It could be. I don't. Alex is only half, so we're at 2.5, 3.5.
If you insist on going down this road, yes, we are at 3.5 out of 5.
That's pretty impressive.
And that's assuming you disregard the Jewish tradition that if the mother is Jewish, the person is Jewish, which would make Alex fully Jewish, which would make it 4 out of 5.
That's pretty impressive.
We have as many, the same ratio of Jews on the show as dentists who recommend Trident gum. Would
That's
have been funnier
point.
If I hadn't stumbled the last word.
That's true. All right, guys, here we go. More Handle on the News. Jennifer Wayne and me.
COVID-19 cases are up in L.A. County. The number of cases is not as important to keep an eye on as the hospitalizations. That's where the real trouble for everybody comes if those ICUs, you know, start to lose capacity. Currently treating 645 COVID patients in hospitals. On June 21st, there were 213 reported being hospitalized.
Yeah, we're going to talk to Jim coming up, Jim Keady at 7:30, and go through the fear, not only his personal fear, but what's happening in the medical community.
I wish, too, that, and I don't know if there's a way to do this, but I wish that LA County would release the stats on breakthrough cases. I want to know how many people who are coming down with COVID are vaccinated or unvaccinated or are a breakthrough case. I wish they would kind of give us more than just the, like, here's how many people are in the hospital. How many of those people are vaccinated?
Yeah, all we do know, at least the information that's being released, is those breakthrough cases, people have been vaccinated and received and got COVID, are getting it much milder, are not in the hospital, have certainly not died. And so it's pretty good news. I mean, a lot of us could have gotten COVID anyway. And just be asymptomatic.
Yeah, sure. But I wish they would explain that. And especially from the health perspective, if they're trying to push people to get the vaccination, why wouldn't you then be able to separate those numbers and say,
you
look.
Know, but I'll tell you why. Because if you're going to get COVID anyway, why vaccinate?
Well, because I mean, if they can prove that you're that the people who are hospitalized are whatever, 600 and whatever, and all these people, let's just say, this isn't the case, but let's just say, all those people were not vaccinated.
We already have that information.
But they haven't said of those who are hospitalized, did they?
Yeah.
Specifically?
Yeah, they're saying 98% are not vaccinated.
Are not vaccinated. Okay, then that, all right, okay. All right, then I will shut up and move on to fires.
Okay.
The Dixie Fire burning in Butte and Plumas counties is now 113,000 acres. It's the second California fire this year to go past 100,000 acres. We're also watching the Sugar Fire and the Dota Fire, which they now call the Beckworth Complex Fire. That one is the one that's burning up near, more toward Reno, that area. That one is 105,000 acres. And that's about all where we stand. I know that the Sugar Fire, they're getting a better hold on than they are the Dixie Fire, the one in the Plumas County area. But, you know, we're just still at the start of the fire season.
Yeah. Bigger, more violent, more acreage than last year, which was the California record. It's getting worse. But we knew that. The only thing is, the people that were the scientists that have been talking about climate change for the last 50 years, the only thing that's wrong with their predictions is the climate change is actually worse than what they predicted. It's coming down faster. It's more, its effects are more virulent. It's a mess. It really is.
Well, over 3 years ago, a 17-year-old boy went missing in that big mudslide that they had in Montecito. There had been fires. And then there were these torrential rains and brought down all the debris onto that community. His remains have now been found and identified. John Canton was his name. He was found no more than 1,000 yards from the former family home that was destroyed.
You've got another condo complex in Surfside, Florida, that's been evacuated after the inspectors went through and deemed the building unsafe. And this is just blocks away from Champlain Towers. That's the one that went down in Florida and killed all those people. And they're going, it seems like, condo building to building and looking through them. Just last week, they had a 156-unit condo building that they said, nope, everybody's got to get out of this one, too, because we're worried about the structural integrity of it. And I just saw this morning, too, that they're saying what's left of the tower, the rubble that's there, some of the concrete and things like that from Champlain Towers, they're telling people that they think that's unstable, and they're worried that that portion could come down and hurt people that are on the street.
What a mess.
Just walking by.
So an entire building is now being evacuated. It's going to be demolished. The developer who owns the majority of the units are buying out the other condo owners, and they're all being evacuated. They're going to the local restaurants so they can get twilight dinner, senior dinners at 4 o'clock. And so you'll see a whole lot of people there. Let's take a break.
Yes, please.
And welcome back on a Friday morning, July 23. Handel here in the morning crew. More Handel on the news, Jennifer, Wayne, and me.
Oh, great. Now authorities are reporting an outbreak of a superbug fungus that is resistant to all three major classes of medications. They had an outbreak in the Washington, D.C. area. This is in a nursing home and two hospitals in the Dallas area. It is a fungus called Candida auris. It's yeast, but it's bad yeast, and it's dangerous to hospitalized patients and nursing home patients who also have other serious medical problems.
Yeah, and it's resistant to everything.
Apparently so.
There is no antibiotic. And of course, at this point, I get to say, and legitimately so, there's a fungus among us.
You've been waiting all
morning. How often
are
you able to say that and have it appropriate and relevant and topical?
All right, we talked about this at the start of the show. The NFL has a, I'd like to call it an incentive.
Something going on here?
Did you bump your volume knob?
No, I don't think so. Are you there, Jennifer?
No? Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
my
yeah.
fault.
Okay, you want to know what happened?
Yeah.
You took your headphones off.
Your headphones off.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
that's what happened.
I was still, and the microphone was still on. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Mr. Techno Genius here.
Oh, look, you're new around here. Eventually, you'll figure out how it all
that's
works.
True. Sorry about that, Jen.
No worries. So, the NFL, I like to call this an incentive to encourage players and teams to make sure that everybody on board is vaccinated, even though I think a lot of people would say this is a big old warning, because essentially your team comes down with COVID and your players haven't been vaccinated. Well, there's no postponement this year like there was last year. It's just a game forfeit. No money for you. You
and
didn't play.
And no
See you
pay.
Later.
And we're not talking about the entire team. We're talking about enough players who are not vaccinated and test positive. Well, there you go.
See you later.
Sorry, guys. Yep. I know you've lost your income for the year, or at least your income for that game. And it's not like there's 162 games as there is in baseball where,
You know what? Now that I look at the specific rules, it's not as harsh as we're thinking. Here's what's required to forfeit a game. First of all, the game gets postponed by some kind of governmental requirement, or the commissioner decides to postpone it because of a health thing. That they can't find a suitable date to reschedule it within the 18-week framework of the regular season, and the original postponement was because of an outbreak among unvaccinated players of one team. So actually, the headline and the way the league is presenting it is not entirely accurate.
But
it
still,
is possible that there would be a game that does get rescheduled.
It's fairly punitive.
But they're not going to extend the season, and they may not try that hard to find a, quote, suitable date to reschedule the game.
Well, that's the feeling I got, is that it's going to be one of those like, oh, hey, what? Your team got a bunch of guys on your team got COVID because they weren't vaccinated. Well, shoot, we can't find a date. Too bad.
And I wonder if the other team has any say-so in whether a date is suitable, right? You forfeit, and then I go, no, sorry, that date, sorry, league, that date doesn't work for our team. That one doesn't either. Oh, well, forfeit.
Maybe.
Oh, man, an assistant coach for the Jets has died of hit-and-run injuries. He died yesterday, and his name was Greg Knapp. And he actually lived here in Northern California, and he was hit on Saturday. He was riding his bike, and somebody hit him and ran off.
Oh, it was a hit and run.
Yes.
I was going to ask that was the driver of the car, did he stop or she stopped?
And Greg Knapp has been a part of a bazillion teams. Like, he was part of the Raiders. He was part of the, I think he got his start with the Falcons. He had Michael Vick, Peyton Manning, Matt Ryan were all guys that he had coached. I mean, this guy was, he was
a real
big
player,
in
so
the league. Oh, man. Yeah. All right, California has sued some video game developers behind Call of Duty, alleging a frat boy culture. So the Department of Fair Employment and Housing filed this civil suit against Activision Blizzard, and it alleges that women were subjected to constant sexual harassment, including groping comments and advances, and it alleges that company execs and HR people knew and failed to take steps to prevent it.
Why would you ever think that the folks behind Call of Duty would be misogynists when the first Call of Duty, you play a customer of a hooker and then beat her up?
You're thinking of Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, okay.
But the gaming industry is like rife with misogyny.
Right.
I mean, this is just the latest in a series of incidents. And I know women who have been like writing about gaming or whatever get harassed.
Yeah, it really is a
constantly.
Boys network that do this. Very few women are involved in the video games. By the way, apology to Call of Duty. Before I get sued, I was just wrong. Innocently wrong. Let's take a break, okay?
And
move on. Yes, good idea. And good morning, everybody. Bill Handel here on the Friday, July 23rd. As we finish up Handel on the News, Jennifer, Wayne, and me. And before we go in there, I'm going through a list, looking at the New York Times, of all the events that are at the Olympics, and some have been around since the beginning, since ancient Greece days. And did you know the badminton is one of the events?
Yeah.
Badminton.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And next year or next Olympics, they're going to be adding Nerf ball.
Don't scoff.
I mean,
can happen.
Badminton.
They're trying to, they have been for a while, they're trying to like modernize the events and put in events that might appeal to younger viewers. That's why you have this speed climbing. Have you seen this?
No, I have not.
Well, you know about these like rock climbing gym.
Climbing walls.
Well, it's like that, except you have to go up this big thing unbelievably fast. It's pretty cool.
And you have surfing. Story on that Hawaiian gal.
Right.
World champion. Oh, my God, what she can do on that surfboard.
Skateboarding.
Skateboarding. Olympic event.
I mean, skateboarding.
I don't know.
Well,
maybe
how about
they can
this?
Do some fancy tricks.
But take history out of it for a second. There's throwing a super long stick that wobbles in the air
But that has been around forever.
If you strip the history out of it, some of those events can described in just as silly a manner.
I know. And the discus, where you throw a dinner plate as long as you can.
It's a heavy frisbee and you try to whip it as far as you can.
All right, let's go ahead and finish the news.
Well, the state of Mississippi has managed to get a case in front of the Supreme Court that really could result in Roe v. Wade being overturned, because this case involves a law that they passed banning abortions after 15 weeks, which is before, quote, viability. And Roe v. Wade and all the history since Roe v. Wade have said there is a right to get an abortion before viability. Well, this law conflicts with that. So the justices agreed to hear it. And if they agree with Mississippi, and you're the lawyer here, they have to overturn Roe v. Wade because they can't say you have a right. You still have a right to an abortion before viability, but also Mississippi can forbid it at 15 weeks.
All right. Two aspects of this. Number one, I don't think Roe v. Wade fundamentally is going to be overturned, but all of the restrictions that apply, it's being nibbled away at the edges to the point where it's going to be irrelevant whether Roe v. Wade is there or not. States restricting, for example, there has to be a doctor within 30 miles and has to have privileges at the hospital. If there's a Catholic hospital, you're done. And they're making it super restrictive. So those will be upheld. And so Roe v. Wade will nominally be upheld, but it really won't de facto.
But in order, if they nominally uphold it, they have to tell Mississippi no.
Yeah, which I think is going to happen because Mississippi just is asking for the complete overturning of Roe v. Wade. And then when that happens, you've got half the states are going to make abortion illegal. And prior to Roe v. Wade, I have to tell you, it was brutal. Doctors who performed abortions could be put in jail for 20 years in some southern states. And so California will always have abortion because it's in the Constitution. We have privacy rights. And it's going to break down. And you have these poor women. It's going to be coat hanger abortions in the southern states, which is just brutal. Just brutal.
You've got a lot of Senate Democrats who are asking just how thorough was that FBI background check of Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh? Now, according to FBI Director Christopher Wray, there were questions from Democrats that were put in this letter late last month that claimed that there were more than 4,500 tips that came in to the FBI about Brett Kavanaugh. And so now you've got Christine Blasey Ford, who had accused him of sexual misconduct, saying that, hey, this just proves that this whole investigation into Brett Kavanaugh was nothing but a sham. And the FBI did only talk to 49 people.
And it's irrelevant.
Yeah.
He's on the bench. Why go through it? It's an exercise in futility.
Is it mostly symbolic just to say, look what
they could have done and didn't do? It's
and...
a waste of time, realistically.
Well, what is it they want to happen?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know anything.
They're just saying, oh, they didn't do a good job.
Right.
They
weren't
thorough enough, which may be true. But now, is there any practicality?
No.
And what is it they suggest happens? I don't think they even have a specific suggestion.
No, they don't.
They're just complaining.
It's just symbolic. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, the director of the CIA says they are doubling down on trying to find out what is behind this so-called Havana syndrome, this weird group of symptoms that has hit over 200 U.S. officials and their family members around the world. Things like migraine headaches, short-term memory loss, nausea, and they still have not been able to figure out what is the common thread
right.
here. You know, there's been talk of it's some kind of microwave weapon. It's some kind of sound wave weapon, but they don't know. So, number one, he's appointing the guy who led the effort that found Osama bin Laden. He's still with the agency, and he's saying, we're going to put you in charge of it because you know how to try to find things and figure out things. And they're also, I think, tripling the number of medical personnel that they're going to apply to this to look at it just in terms of the purely medical aspect.
Yeah, started in Havana. That was the first indication. And then it has spread to other countries. And these are personnel that work in the embassy for the most part. No one knows yet. Let's do one more.
Can we end with number 16, the bear in the Olympic Stadium?
Sure.
There's a bear, an Asian black bear, that apparently really wanted to go to the Olympics and said, I don't care if you're getting spectators, I'm going to watch. It broke into the venue hosting the first sports event of the Tokyo Games Wednesday, and this was at the baseball stadium there. And here's the deal. They still don't know where the bear is. They couldn't find or capture the bear. And so the people there said, well, while there won't be any spectators in the stadium, we'll just be on alert and watch for the bear around the site.
Okay.
So I guess Team USA members of the baseball team were like, is it real that there's a bear? Yeah, they say that there's a bear here.
Yeah, but is there video of the bear, or is it just a rumor?
Well, a guard said they found the bear. I don't think if there was video of it, it would be everywhere, right? If somebody had a cell phone and there's a bear in the stadium, it would be all over the internet already.
But you have a guard who says that. Is that a singular statement? We don't know.
Oh. Well, I don't know if this is any insight. The guard's name is Jonathan Hoax. No, I'm kidding.
That's very funny. All right, we are done. Coming up, the new Olympic motto, and that is, should it even go on? This is KFI AM 640 Live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.